Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, Dr. Prather, we're going to give an update on the COVID-19. What are the latest statistics on COVID-19 right now?
Well, of course, you know, these change on a daily basis, but right now we got about 654,000 cases confirmed in Indiana. We have about a little bit over 12,000 deaths in Indiana. The U.S., we have 28 million confirmed cases and 493,000 deaths in the United States. Now, globally, there were about 110 million confirmed cases and about 2.5 million deaths. Mm. So quite a statistic. But when it first started out, a lot of the predictions was about 500 to 600,000 deaths were expected in the United States from this COVID. Mm-hmm. So we are on track along those lines. At this time, there's really no surprises on what we're seeing on this.
No surprises.
No okay. surprises.
And that's been now almost a year
yeah.
of statistics.
Yeah, okay. And they were talking about during a year mm-hmm. time. So,
okay. What percentage of American population is vaccinated now?
Well, we have 12% of the population that has been vaccinated at this point, mm-hmm. which is pretty good. It's better than most countries.
Mm-hmm. Are the vaccines safe for the COVID?
Well, that's, of course, a big question along those lines. There have been a certain number of deaths that have been reported mm-hmm. that have been confirmed. A lot of it's anaphylactic reaction. They have said if you do have allergies, you know, no matter what they are, you should bring an EpiPen when you get your vaccination. Overall, they have said that the vaccination seems to be safe at this time. It does get out of the body usually in about 4 to 5 days. That's usually during the time when you actually have the symptoms. A lot of people that I've talked to that have had the vaccination have had absolutely no symptoms, so that's always a good sign also. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of the people are having a couple of days. So at this point, as far as we know, the vaccines are safe. You know, the whole thing is that that's important to understand is that the vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting it. What it does is it boosts your immune system so that your response to the virus should help to be greater mm-hmm. so that you are able to cut down on the symptoms that are associated with the virus, cut down on the number of deaths that are actually occurring.
Okay. So are the vaccines effective against the new variants of COVID-19?
Now that's where we get into a whole new thing. They have actually determined there are three main variants that have occurred, though. There is actually seven variants, new variants that they've actually found that have originated in the United States.
Mm, that's something new.
That's something brand new.
Okay.
So there are seven variants found that have originated in the United States. There are three major areas of variants. There's what they call the UK one, South African, and the Brazilian one. They were pretty sure that the Brazilian, that the vaccination wasn't going to be effective on that. Mm-hmm. Also, it has shown up that the South African variant is that the vaccine is probably not going to be effective on that one either. Mm-hmm. Both of those have arrived in the United States. The United Kingdom one is very prevalent right now. It has actually hit quite a few states, and actually quite a few in Florida is probably the state that has the highest number of the United Kingdom variant. Hmm. That one seems to be, all of them seems to be much more, about 85% more infectious that you could actually get it. They were saying it wasn't as deadly, mm-hmm. but they're actually saying that it is actually more deadly.
Okay.
So, sorry about the bad news.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of where we're coming in on that, and this new change on that kind of changes the whole picture. It kind of makes me wonder about the effectiveness of the vaccination. If these new variants take over, they'll probably need to come up with a new vaccination. At least that's what the scientists are saying at this point.
Okay. And you said you named the three variants.
Yes.
The
South African, the mm-hmm. Brazilian, and the UK. And the UK is the most common one in the United States at this point. All of them have been found in the United States at this time.
Did you say there were seven variants?
Besides those three, mm-hmm. there are seven new variants that have actually originated in the United States. Now, mm-hmm. they haven't really become widespread. We don't really know too much about them. But one of the things that they have done is switched a lot of their emphasis on how they're checking things, but they're really getting in to try to sequence the genomes, you know, so mm-hmm. that they can actually determine if there are new variants that are coming around. What's interesting, though, is that all the variants have the same type of a change, so that probably will be something that we'll be seeing in all the new cases that come out.
So can you catch one of these variances if you've had the COVID-19?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there is enough of a change. It's just like, you know, the vaccination probably won't work on those. And then our immune system, it's almost like a brand new virus.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much, even though you've had it before, this new variant you probably can get again.
Okay. You're not telling us a lot of...
Not doing great. Well, one thing, I got some good news.
Okay.
COVID cases are down 62%.
That's great.
So that's actually good. And through Indiana, what they do is they have them in different blue zone, yellow zone, mm-hmm. orange zone, and a red zone. Most of Indiana is either in the blue or yellow, which means that, you know, the cases are way down here.
Mm-hmm.
There are about five counties that are in the orange, and none of the counties are in red in right. Indiana.
That's great news.
So yeah. that is actually good news. Now, one of the things is that they have changed the testing procedure.
Mm-hmm.
A World Health Organization, they predicted that just from the new testing that there would be a drop of 40%, just because they were getting too many what they considered false positives. So things have slowed down. One of the things that we would like to see is the schools opening up. And pretty much anything K through 8 they've determined is not really reasonable to keep it closed, according to the CDC and World Health Organization. Don't know if that's actually going to translate into the schools opening. All the parents should be listening in on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But it should. I mean, that would be where the science actually comes in. But unfortunately, there's a lot of politics, and the teachers' unions are actually opposed to it, which most of the teachers don't agree with. So it's kind of a back and forth type of thing. And unfortunately, politics gets in the way of science quite a bit.
Yeah. And another positive, too, churches are considered essential.
Yes. And,
yeah.
Yes. They really haven't found very much transmission in the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the mental health, people who go to church mm-hmm. Are showing up doing much, much better. And really, one of the biggest things that we've got going on is we have a mental health crisis. That's huge right now
mm-hmm.
and possibly could be causing more deaths than the COVID-19 itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that'd be a whole show. We could talk on that.
You're right.
But let's talk about what's happening with the flu.
Oh, yes. It's interesting. Now, last year, which was actually kind of a mild one,
mm-hmm.
There were 400,000 people hospitalized for the flu last year.
In the United States.
In the United States. Thank you. 22,000 died, and 434 children actually died last year from the flu. Interestingly enough, right now, whereas 400,000 people were hospitalized for the flu last year, there were 165 people who were hospitalized this year so far.
You're talking about 2021? Or
yeah, the flu season from September.
Of 2020.
Of 2020 until now.
Hmm.
400,000 people... last year, and we're at 165 right now.
Wow. Those numbers are drastically different.
A little bit.
What's the explanation of that?
You know, that's one of the things that they're talking about is what the heck?
Uh-huh.
You know, is it just that we've done the social distancing, the mask, all those types of things as a possibility? They actually have pretty well ruled that, I think, out.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, more wishful thinking. But viruses actually compete against each other. So when you go through a normal flu season, you kind of have a pattern along those lines. Usually you get the adenovirus that hits first, then the flu virus kind of takes over, and then the coronaviruses kind of mop it up.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really overlap. Right now, with the coronavirus that is going on, that's kind of dominating it, it's sort of suppressed all the other viruses. So we're not getting a whole lot of adenoviruses, and we're not getting a whole lot of flu viruses. That the coronavirus is saying, hey, it's my show right now, and there's no room for you guys.
Okay.
So I
that
believe...
that could be good instead of having three, viruses coming at you.
Right, right.
At one time. Viruses
don't play well together.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So that's where we think is the actual truth of the whole matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, for this update.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip featuring Rapid Release Technology. Yeah, we're going to talk about this rapid release technology, or RRT. It's our secret weapon, like to say. It's non-surgical, drug-free treatment option.
Sure.
It's FDA-registered high-speed vibration device. It was developed in 2010.
Actually by a chiropractor.
It's a pioneered high-speed vibration therapy. It's focused on the relief of soft tissue problems affecting nerves, muscles, tendons, and ligaments.
There's a lot of different ways that you can get adhesions and scar tissue and different things released. A lot of it can actually be very painful to achieve. And it's one of the things that is not well treated at all in the disease care model up until this point. What they were able to do is come up with a concept of a vibrational instead of a mechanical. It's vibrating at a frequency that they found breaks up tissue that is abnormal. So it actually starts to change it, melt it away. When it does that, then allows the body to go in there and lay down normal tissue that is fully functioning. The good illustration on that is an opera singer who can sing, and you've got that fine crystal starts to vibrate. And it vibrates at a higher frequency, even to the point where it can even crack. What you're doing with this rapid release is you're creating a vibration, and that doesn't harm normal tissue. As a matter of fact, it actually heals it, gets more circulation, and makes it better functioning. But abnormal tissue, it actually breaks up, and then it helps the body to dissipate it.
Relax muscles and release aches, pains, and tension through rapid-release high-speed vibration therapy. Experience the benefits of rapid-release therapy by scheduling an appointment at the Prather Practice. And to purchase your own, go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER2020 for a $100 discount available to the Voice of Health Radio listeners. Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the Indie A-List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row. And we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google+. Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
And I'm feeling good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. We're talking today about sweet fiber. That sounds good. Well, my fiber and my sweet at the same time?
Well, that is a rather interesting title, because you don't really think about fiber being sweet.
Uh-huh. No, you don't.
Yes.
You
so
think of, like, eating bark.
Bark, right.
Uh-huh. Fiber.
Yeah. People get real excited when you sit there and say, oh, this is high in fiber. You can see the kids get excited, you know? You got a 10-year-old, you sit there and you go, hey, this has a lot of fiber in it. And you see the excitement on your face.
Right. Well, even adults, right? So what do you mean by sweet fiber?
Well, it's sort of an oxymoron. We don't think of fiber as being sweet, but the benefits to the body are really quite incredible. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we want to do is, in this whole segment, just to kind of let the cat out of the bag, is kind of show the difference between sugar and fiber and their relationship to our health and how important fiber is. And if we're looking at it from a healthy standpoint, fiber is sweet. Sugar is not.
Okay. Whatever you say. Why is fiber so important to our health?
With who and what we were for thousands of years before modern chemicals and pasteurization and processing and all these different types of things, our diet consisted of a tremendous amount of fiber. That's how we were brought about, mm-hmm. was on a high fiber diet. So our body is used to a high fiber diet. And we have changed that because of modern technology. We have decided to make food more palatable, more sellable, and getting rid of fiber is one of the ways that they've done that.
And more addicting.
Yes, and more addicting. And the loss of the fiber has had untold consequences on our health and well-being. Mm-hmm. It's not how we were designed to live.
So where did you first hear about fiber and its importance?
Well, I was in chiropractic school. We had a nutritional course. And the PhD who was teaching it on nutrition was a gentleman who had a lot of practical experience. And one of the things he did was he had a lot of practical experience in raising animals. So he would raise hogs and beef and other different types of animals for slaughter. And it was very important that he had the nutrition down to get the most out of his finances. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't, it's basically a nutritional game. And he had a mill that was close to him, and they said, we've got a lot of this leftover fiber that we've removed from the grains. Can you feed that to your hogs? And he says, I'm not going to feed that to my hogs. These are, you know, I'm trying to get them ready for market, and it's going to be a problem. You know, I can't fatten them up. It's a waste of them eating. And they said, well, you know, we'll give it to you for free. Just see what it does. So he took a segment of the hog's population, started feeding them fiber. And he said it was incredible. They grew faster. They reproduced better. He had less disease. It was like a miracle. So he started to add that into his hog's diet. And also then he started to add it into chicken feed and beef feed. And it was incredible, the health benefits that occurred with the animals. He then started to have also a nutritional practice, started to introduce that into people's diet. And it's amazing how many things. One of the things that I always say is that exercise
cures
a world of diseases and a world of errors that you make in your life. Well, fiber does the same thing. Fiber in the diet is sort of the magic missing ingredient if you want to make an improvement in one's diet. There's a very old Chinese story about the Yellow Emperor. And he goes to one of his wise women who advised him, and they said, he said, why are the people, you know, why aren't they giving me more taxes? He says, the wise woman says, they're weak and not strong enough to work. And he says, well, you know, what is it? And she said, we need to put bamboo shoots into their diet.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, that's not going to do anything. And she says, no, they need the bamboo shoots to get the fiber into their diet. So they added that in, and the people became healthy, and he started getting his taxes.
Interesting.
So that's the story that they say on
why
this country
might have less debt if we eat fiber.
Yes, because of the health differences, all the different types of things. People aren't able to work enough. They're not, so that if they can't work, they can't make money, they can't pay taxes. It's an ongoing type of problem. And as we get into this, fiber cures so many different types of things that it is, the Chinese had a story on why you need to add bamboo shoots into your diet. Because there's no nutritional value except for the fiber.
Interesting.
But that's why they put it in.
Yeah, you see it in Chinese food.
Right.
Interesting. Well, how much fiber do Americans take into their diets?
The average American takes in about 18 grams of fiber, which is pretty pitiful.
That's 18 grams per day.
18 grams per day.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very small amount.
Mm-hmm. So how much should we take in?
The American Dietary Association says that we should be taking in, for a female, should be taking in 35 grams, and for a male, 45 grams.
Mm.
However, I beg to differ.
Okay.
It should be for a male 75 grams and for a female 65 grams to have all the benefit that you need. The 45 and 35 grams is the minimum.
Minimum.
That mm-hmm. we should be having.
And you feel 65 and...
65 for a female, 75 for a male is really where you start to see health differences.
Why the difference between male and female?
Females take in less food.
Okay.
So it's the same proportion.
Same proportion, okay.
But it's just a different amount mm-hmm. that's necessary because they're smaller.
So how much sugar do Americans take in?
Americans take in about 75 grams of sugar.
Daily.
Daily.
Wow.
So
we're 18 grams of fiber a day.
Right.
It's 75 grams of sugar, which it could be refined sugar.
Right.
Which is not. Okay.
It's not basically good. We're not talking about even
nutritional value.
Yeah. We're not talking about sugar that's from fruit and from vegetables, that type of thing. It's sugar, and one of the biggest places that we're getting it from is from corn syrup. Mm-hmm. Which is probably one of the worst sugars that we could possibly take in.
The high fructose corn syrup.
We reached a high of about 2014 on how much we were taking in, but the word's kind of gotten out. So we have reduced our high fructose corn syrup, but it's still not low enough from where it should be.
Mm. So how much sugar should we be taking in?
Now, this is where it really gets interesting.
Uh-huh.
So we take in 75 grams of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
We only take in 18 grams of fiber.
Mm-hmm.
We should be taking in 75 grams of fiber and 18 grams of sugar.
Mm. We've switched it.
We've switched it. And if you go back even to our great-grandparents,
mm-hmm.
that was their diet.
Probably they grandparents, too.
Your grandparents, mm-hmm. too. My grandparents. 75 grams of fiber was usually what they were taking in. About 18 grams of sugar. Sugar was expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You only used it as a treat. It wasn't on a daily type of basis. You didn't add it to all of your foods.
With each meal.
With each meal.
Uh-huh.
That was something that you used sparingly. You used desserts and sugary desserts for special occasions.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't something that you had on a daily basis. We have really switched that, and we are adding it into everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're eating processed foods, you're getting sugar.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What are the worst sources of sugar?
Well, we were talking about high fructose corn syrup. Just really has one of the worst effects on the body. So trying to eliminate that is just not something that we should be taking in.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar itself has some problems. It's a very refined type of product.
Mm-hmm.
So sugar is a problem in and of itself, but there are sugars that are worse the more that they are. In other words, if you can't come about it naturally,
mm-hmm.
the more you have to process it to get it, the worse it is for your body because the less your body knows what to do with it.
Right.
So high fructose corn syrup, our parents or grandparents couldn't produce that because they didn't have the
chemicals,
the processes to make it. So the more that we experiment, the more that we play with that type of thing, the worse it gets.
Mm-hmm.
The more natural it is, the more that it comes in through normal sources, the better it is for us.
It's just so interesting how that has changed.
It has.
And people don't talk about fiber.
No.
You can have a fiber diet and lose weight.
Well,
we're going to talk about that.
We'll
okay, I'm stepping ahead. So why is sugar so bad for you? You talked about our body doesn't know what to do with it when it's the high fructose corn syrup. What else?
Well, sugar is a very refined type of product, like cane sugar, you
mm-hmm.
know, the actual canes.
Uh-huh.
People used to take those and chew on them, and they were very, very sweet. But they had huge amount of fiber,
mm-hmm.
and they had a huge amount of vitamins and minerals in there.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if it grows into a plant, the products that it needs to digest are there.
Interesting.
So what we do is we take that little portion out of it, and sugar demands a tremendous amount of reserves from us because there are no vitamins, no minerals in there, no fiber to process it. And so the body says it's empty, what they call empty calories. Empty calories are very hard on the system because it creates nutritional debt. The more that you eat empty nutritional calories without the supporting vitamins and minerals, the more you're causing problems, the more everything's getting gummed up, and the cells just aren't working as well as they should be.
Wow. And that would affect
everything. Our health.
Interesting.
Everything.
When we come back, more on sweet fiber.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
And I think every man in here should get a colonoscopy, because I had to. It's not an easy decision, because the best news you can find out from getting a camera stuck up your butt is learning you didn't need to have a camera stuck up your butt. That's the best news. Yeah, we didn't need to do that. We can just chalk that up, one for fun.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Are the school closings necessary?
No. As a matter of fact, the Center of Disease Control said that that's completely unnecessary, actually counterproductive for the health and well-being of the children. There really isn't a lot of contagion that actually occurs, and it doesn't really spread, and children aren't really at risk. So really, the whole idea of closing the schools is totally against the scientific model that they're actually putting together, that it's actually a worthless type of thing to do. It's more of a political, definitely politics has to do with the closing of the schools. Really, we should have all the schools open, and really even up through college. None of the school systems should be closed. And a lot of parents who have been inconvenienced and trying to do school at home, and all the kids who have fallen behind, now you tell us. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Are you experiencing muscle pain or tightness anywhere on your body? Try the Rapid Release Therapy Pro 2. The Pro 2 is a targeted high-speed vibration therapy device used by medical professionals to quickly relieve a wide variety of aches and pains on their patients, as well as themselves, their friends, and their families. Safe, effective, and easy to use, this professional quality medical device uses a patent treatment head with 5 built-in heads, giving you the versatility to treat small bony surfaces, such as fingers, wrists, and ankles, powerful enough to quickly relax the tightest hips on professional athletes and everything in between. Unlike the low-speed percussive devices, rapid-release therapy delivers for sensitive areas like joints, neck, and ankles safely and comfortably, and provides the raw power your larger muscle groups need. Go to our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. Click on the rapid-release banner and enter code PRATHER for a $100 discount for the Voice of Health Radio listeners.
Bring my friend, I said you called Dr. Robert. Day or night, he'll be there any time at all, Dr. Robert. Dr. Robert.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
We're talking today about sweet fiber. We talked about why you call it sweet fiber. And what's really interesting to me is the stats and how they're turned around between what we consume as Americans. And we're just talking about North
right.
America here.
Right.
The fiber intake and the sugar intake have switched. We're averaging about 75 grams of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we can say bad sugar, right?
Right.
Bad sugar that has no nutritional value. Our bodies don't know what to do with. They're sure. Empty calories. And then we're only getting 18 grams of fiber when we should be getting closer to 60 to 70
grams. So it's just completely reversed.
Mm-hmm.
You think that has something to do with our health?
It has a lot to do.
And you don't hear a lot about fiber.
No.
You know? So before we went to break, we were talking about sugar. Is there a right amount of sugar that's okay?
Yes.
Or, you know, we have the cane sugar, the rapadura sugar, stevia. So is there a right amount of sugar that's okay?
Yes, and there are sweeteners that work well. Honey's a very excellent one, especially if you eat it with the honeycomb, because that's a high fiber.
Oh.
So the honeycomb itself has a huge amount of fiber and should be taken in with the honey. Mm-hmm. Honey does have a lot of the nutrients in there, so that's a good source. Stevia is an excellent sweetener without any real problems. It's a natural sweetener. Rapadura sugar is sugar that has all the nutrients with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that works well. Molasses is a very helpful type of thing. Has the iron, has a lot of the nutrients in it. So as you can get more into the raw type of a product, again, the better types of sugars are the least refined.
Mm-hmm.
So the more that you can get it with the least amount of work, the better the sugar is.
Mm-hmm.
The more chemical it is, the more it's processed, the more they try to refine it, the worse it is for our body.
And it has a lot to do with our obesity rate.
Yeah, it has a huge amount to do with
our obesity. And it's the toxins, not...
Correct. Well, it's amazing what effects that has.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. It changes our digestive flora.
Mm-hmm.
It changes our endocrine balance. It changes our immune system. It has a direct effect on our insulin levels. It has a direct effect on our use of calories. The fiber-sugar ratio is the quickest, easiest way to dietarily affect obesity. Matter of fact, the only thing that they've proven that 100% of the time always helps with obesity is fiber. If you increase your fiber levels, it's the one of the quickest, easiest ways to reduce your weight. One of the things that it really does along those lines is change the gut flora. Now, I'm going to get a little technical here and stick with me on this, but there are two different basic types of bacteria that are in the gut. One is a Firmicutes, the other one is a Bacteroidetes, and I'm not going to repeat that because nobody got any of that. But the one with the that starts with the F is the portion of the bacteria that digests fiber, and the one with the B is the one that digests sugar. That ratio on there has a huge amount to do with our obesity rate. The more fiber you take in, the more of the Firmicutes that you actually start to develop. And that balance on there has a huge effect on your health, on whether you're taking cholesterol, your insulin levels. It also has a lot to do with how many calories you produce. If you have a balance in your gut bacteria, a good balance, it can reduce your caloric and fat absorption into your body by 50%.
Wow.
Let me repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are eating 3,000 calories a day, where the bacterioids are the dominant and there's hardly any Firmicutes into your digestive system, you are getting the full effect of the 3,000 calories. If you have a balance with the ones that digest the fiber, you're getting the same as 1,500 calories with the same amount of calories you're taking in.
Wow, interesting.
So if you have a good balance in your good bacteria, you can cut down on how much fat is being produced by 50% and actually start to lose weight without changing your calorie intake. But it's dependent on how much fiber versus sugar that you take.
Mm-hmm.
That's what determines everyone's balance in their GI gut.
Mm-hmm.
So the GI is really where you can make a huge difference in your weight loss. And the way that you do that is by increasing your fiber. Not only does fiber do several things, it satiates, so you aren't as hungry. It's just amazing all the changes that occur.
Yeah.
Like in animals, when they do studies, they find that if they feed a diet like what we do with a low fiber and a high sugar diet, the animals will consume 30% more food than on a balanced diet. If they increase the fiber,
the animals cut down on how much they eat.
Wow.
And they're healthier. Mm-hmm. They grow better. They reproduce better. It has a huge effect on fertility. The hormones are balanced. They have better, healthier litters. It's amazing all the different types of changes that occur when you can start to get your fiber in. Mm-hmm. So fiber is not just for constipation.
Right. Have your prune juice.
Sure.
Well, I was thinking, too, in the gut, you know, like a bamboo shoot, right? As that's going through the intestinal wall, is that doing something?
If you have a low-fiber diet, you start to accumulate digested food in pockets, things like that. Uh-huh. So it starts to really cause a lot of problems. You know, a lot of the diseases of the bowel mm-hmm. are occurring because you're not cleaning it out. So you need the fiber to clean out the bowels mm-hmm. 100%. It keeps the intestines much, much healthier. It also helps with insulin balance. You know, it has a direct effect on the hormones. Mm-hmm. It lowers cholesterol, cuts down on cardiovascular disease and heart disease. Mm-hmm. It cuts down on cancer. It's amazing just how many things that you could be talking about that are eliminated by increasing the fiber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. Be like a fiber diet out there.
A fiber diet. That's what we really need is a big fiber diet.
Very interesting. When we come back, let's talk about good sources of fiber.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. How can acupuncture help pain?
I've had many, many patients said that the acupuncture worked better than their cortisone shots mm-hmm. for the pain relief. And not only that, but it was they could do it as often as they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very nice type of thing. And we use the acupuncture a tremendous amount for any type of inflammatory or painful condition. Very, very excellent relief.
Well, in a way, is this how pain works? When one of those roadways are blocked, mm-hmm. then you have pain, correct?
Correct.
And acupuncture kind of opens that up.
Opens it up, redirects it. Absolutely. And we get amazing inflammatory relief. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's one of the things that we see on a regular basis. And we get quite a few referrals for pain relief from the acupuncture with excellent results.
What if someone's thinking acupuncture, you know, and they're afraid of needles?
Well, the nice thing is that we have, well, first off, the needles are as thin as a hair. When people think about needles, they think about a hypodermic needle. Mm-hmm. And you can put probably at least 5, maybe 10 of those needles in one hypodermic needle. Mm-hmm. So they're very, very thin. Also, they're rounded on the end. They're not sharp. So, you know, that you get very seldom do you get any bleeding. It's more of a toxic release if there is. But that will actually go in and kind of go between the skin cells. So there's very little problems. A lot of people compare it to a mosquito bite. Mm-hmm. The other thing is if you are just not going to do needles, mm-hmm. we have lots of different alternatives. There's laser, there's electrical, we have an acupowder. I have several patients who do not even ever want me to show them a needle. They will pass out just like that.
Well, a lot of times you don't even feel it.
Well, you don't. Mm-hmm. You really don't. Matter of fact, I had a patient who was laying down and she says, "No, I'm deathly afraid of needles." And we're talking and I'm sitting there putting needles in her and we're going on and on. And she's laying face down, and she says, "Okay, tell me when you start."
You had already put
I had already done it.
That was sneaky.
She thought it was fun. Well, I wasn't trying to be sneaky. It just went that way. And that she says, sneaky. "Oh, you're kidding. I thought you were just checking the points." She said, "I didn't even feel it."
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048.
That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
It's a beautiful.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about sweet fiber and how important fiber is to the diet. And we're talking about here in North America, our diet and how we've switched probably in two generations from what we were intaking fiber and where it needs to be, now sugar. Is we're intaking about 75 grams of sugar, interesting, and fiber only 18 grams, and we need to switch that.
If you go back to the 1970s, 1960s, 10% of the population was obese, less than that. As they were looking at the numbers of how many people were obese, when they hit 10%, there was kind of a hue and cry that, oh my goodness, we've got a real problem here. Mm-hmm. In the last 25 years, there was only one state that had over 10% of obesity. Now we are getting to the point that no state has less than 30%.
Wow.
So it has become such a huge problem, and it's just an exponential growth on the obesity rate. What is it that's causing that? What is it that is leading to this problem?
What's changed?
And it hasn't really been our calorie intake. It's how we eat. Mm-hmm. What people used to do is that there was a lot of fresh vegetables, a lot of fresh fruits. People made meals. Now everything is it's a factory food that we're getting, and factory food takes out all the fiber and adds a whole lot of sugar, because it's difficult to make things palatable for people if it's not made fresh, and so they try to compensate on that, try to make it sweeter so people crave it more, so they eat more, you know, because they find that there's a 30% increase on how much you eat if they put a lot of sugar in it. Mm-hmm. And they're taking out the fiber because the fiber, it doesn't last as long because fiber degenerates. Mm-hmm. So there is a whole process on this. There's a whole movement on what we're doing. And we're killing ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Slowly killing ourselves.
Slowly killing ourselves. That's why we have an obesity epidemic.
Increase in autoimmune disease.
Increase in autoimmune diseases. There's a huge effect on the immune system. 80% of your immune system is around your gut. Mm-hmm. And if you are changing the whole gut flora in through there, you're changing the immune system. We were designed to operate in a certain type of a way. And we've completely changed the fuel. Mm-hmm. And we're reaping the consequences of that.
So what are good sources of fiber?
Well, fiber, again, what you want to do is get the foods that are as unprocessed as possible. Mm-hmm. Beans, legumes, all of those are really good sources of fiber as long as they haven't been processed to death. So beans, they are, you know, as you talk about that, they keep you moving. So beans are fantastic, great source of fiber. All beans have a lot of fiber in them. So that's a really good way to go with increasing our dietary fiber. Plants, whenever you get into the grains, we eat a lot of grains in our diet right now, but it's processed grains. What they've done is they've removed the nutrient value of the grains. They've removed the fiber. Trying to get high fiber, healthy nutrient grains is much more difficult. You like the bread that I get from Europe?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. What is that bread? Yeah.
That is the way the bread should be. Mm-hmm. Where it's compact, small. It feels like a brick instead of, you know, light bread.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get two different kinds of bread where, you know, you have it and you can kind of, it feels like a marshmallow. Uh-huh. And you puff it up and down. That is a very processed bread. That is not bread that has
which fills our shelves. Yeah.
So what I do is I eat bread from Europe, and it feels like a nice little brick loaf.
Yeah, get it at Market District. Yeah.
Right, it's very thick. It has a tremendous amount of fiber in it. That's the way that bread used to be.
I have to toast it.
You have to toast it because it is, but you like it, though.
Oh, yeah.
And it has a lot of fiber in it. So that's a huge way in trying to get it as natural and as thicker and as much grain. And it's very hard to find really the high-level fiber in bread in America. You have to go to Europe to find it.
Mm-hmm.
So I eat bread from Europe.
That you find at Market District.
We find at Market District, yeah.
That's good.
So you want to have it in your noodles, the high fiber, least processed types of noodles also. Mm-hmm. So really going with that, the high fiber type of grains. Also, you want to have your veggies. Mm-hmm. The richer the color, usually the higher the fiber content. The more it's washed out, the less fiber.
Okay.
So
what
fiber.
What about Brussels sprouts?
Brussels sprouts, excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we were talking about.
But you do not want to be in the same room with me after eating Brussels sprouts.
Well, that's kicking up your firmicutes. Firmicutes kind of, yeah, that's why they call them like cooties, you know. So the fiber bacteria does produce more gas.
Mm-hmm.
The smell from gas actually comes from meat, from the sulfur.
Oh, okay, interesting.
So, yes.
I was just at Bed Bath & Beyond, and they have, like, potpourri, and you can, they were doing these advertisements, it was hilarious, but you can put this in your purse, you know, if you eat Brussels sprouts for lunch. Or
spray right there.
Uh-huh.
Take the spray with you.
Uh-huh.
So, also fruits. Mm-hmm. Fruits are a high source as long as you're, that's one of the problems, of course, is fruits are supposed to be meant to eat as fruits, not as fruit juice.
Yeah. That's not the same thing.
Right. That's why if you are going to have like orange juice, have the high pulp because you need the fiber to process the natural sugars.
Mm-hmm.
That's why foods that are really sweet naturally have high fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Dates, figs, those are all high fiber types of foods with a lot of nutrients in it, but they got a lot of sugar. But they balance that out in a natural type of way.
Right.
So finding those types of products along those lines are very important. So
apples. Really
apples, yeah. All those types of things.
What was the saying? An apple a day keeps
right.
the doctor away.
Yeah. And it's better to have them raw instead of cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have more of the fiber working in through your diet.
But it's real important, too, to chew the food.
Chewing the food, breaking it down, that's, you know, if you're having processed foods, we're all in such a hurry, we don't want to have to chew our food. And you have to chew your food if you have fiber in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the process.
Right. You have to literally count 30 chews. Yeah, I am guilty. Yeah. I remember New York City, and you're sitting like on top of each other as you're eating, and it's loud, and it's so easy to just
speed through it,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So you talked about bamboo shoots being very important.
Bamboo shoots, that's just purely for fiber. Water chestnuts mm-hmm. are a very high fiber type of food.
Now, you eat a lot of dates and figs. And
I do. Seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Seeds are excellent. Chia seeds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds are also very, very high in fiber. A lot of nutrients in it. Nuts.
Nuts, yeah.
Nuts are also excellent. Going for the high fiber foods really, really helps out with your health and well-being. If you have type 2 diabetes, one of the ways that you can get rid of that is by increasing your fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Fiber has a huge effect on the insulin levels. If you having to take high cholesterol medicine, fiber really fixes a lot of the cholesterol problems. Hypertension, high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Fiber has been shown to be another thing besides weight loss.
Right.
Those are all very important types of things.
Well, let's talk about supplementation.
Right.
Is supplementation helpful too?
We very seldom get people to eat enough fiber.
Right. So you're supplementing a lot of people.
So we're supplementing. Now, these are all natural sources of,
mm-hmm.
Of fiber. They're basically a food in a capsule because people aren't taking enough of it.
Yeah, kind of like a condensed food.
It's a condensed food, and it's
capsule.
An easier way to do it. So getting supplementation for the majority of people is necessary, because it's very difficult in modern America to get people to eat enough fiber to get it up to 75 grams. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And you need to have it there for a long period of time to start to see the changes in the bowels.
So what supplements do you recommend? And I know we're very individualized.
But. Right. There are all sorts of different types of fibers out there. They have psyllium is, of course, one of the better known.
Psyllium husk, yeah.
Yeah. But they also have oat. There are easily, we could have 20 different types of fiber here, finding out which one works the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those are available in supplement forms in different types of ways. They have apple pectin. In other words, there's an awful lot. So if you don't do well with psyllium, which is the standard for that,
mm-hmm.
for fiber, there are other different forms. If you have an allergy to that, we can certainly find something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. But that doesn't mean when you supplement, you can eat that same amount of sugar.
Yeah. You want to try to get it.
Right.
If you can get it with your diet, that's the best way.
Mm-hmm. So can the effects of increased fiber be measured?
It can. We do a GI stool kit, and it shows basically how much fiber you're taking in your diet by the effects of the bacteria.
Mm.
So we have people who come in all the time who say, now, you know, how's your fiber? You can increase your fiber, and you can really make a big difference on your weight loss or your blood sugar or all the different types of things that are going on in the system. They say, oh, no, I'm great with my fiber. I just, you know, and they go on and brag about how they eat. And then we do their stool kit, and there's absolutely none of the bacteria in there that are necessary to digest fiber.
Wow. So that shows up on the
It shows kit. Up on the stool kit. And one of the nice things on that is, in other words, we have a lie detector test,
uh-huh.
and it literally shows how well you're doing. And one of the things that is very, very true, that we have found no one, and I mean no one in all the years that we've been testing the stool kit, that has a normal balance in their diet.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are taking, everyone is taking in too much sugar as opposed to the fiber. And the fiber bacteria are hardly registering on their stool kit.
Wow.
Hardly registering. There's absolutely usually none.
Mm-hmm.
That we see some
wow.
people with some that shows up. Those are the ones that say, oh, yeah, I'm really, really great with my fiber.
Yeah.
And it's, no,
we're not there.
So
what kind of symptoms will they be having?
Well, you know, there's weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
If people who have a balance on their fiber and the other type are not obese,
mm-hmm.
they just are not.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen.
Interesting.
They don't have blood sugar problems. They don't have hypertension. They don't have cholesterol problems. Their insulin levels are normal. So, you know, that is probably one of the biggest indicators on a lot of the major types of things that are going on in your system.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that have shown up normal is the ones that we've really hit, and they followed what we told them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then we start to see it, but it'll take a year, you know, especially if you have a situation that you are showing up no fiber in
mm-hmm.
your diet.
And what's nice about this stool kit, you just did your annual one. How was your fiber?
Did. I was better than most. I was not in the green. I was in the yellow.
Okay.
So I do need to increase my fiber.
Uh-huh.
Most people are showing up absolutely none. I'm at 27, mm-hmm. but I do want to get up where I should be is about 200.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
and
I have to hit
a
my
lot of fiber.
And I eat. Well,
I live with you. I know.
Interestingly enough, my fiber levels for someone who's coming in without really, you know, hitting
yeah.
it are probably one of the best I've seen.
Really? But yet they have a lot of improvement.
But they still have a tremendous amount of improvement to do.
Mm-hmm. Is this part of the reason there's so much colon disease right now?
Yes. Autoimmune diseases, colon diseases, cardiovascular, all those things are very much connected to this.
Interesting. Well, we have about a minute, Dr. Prather. I just want to give you the floor and make sure you communicate what you want to on sweet fiber.
Let's hit our fiber. That is one of the most important things that we can possibly do. And one of the ways that you should do that is get a nice stool kit, someone who can measure, see exactly where you are.
And insurance cover,
most insurances do cover
kit.
That. Yeah. And it is one of the best ways to get your health back to par.
And it wasn't bad doing, right?
It wasn't. It's not bad at all.
Uh-huh. Excellent. Well, thank you for such an interesting show.
Thank you, Lisa.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.